Get in our Bible this morning. I won't keep you long today, but Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Today is the last day I will wear Christmas ties. I don't get to wear them until next year. And I have a plethora of Christmas ties, but we're shifting gears. In Hebrews chapter 12, title of the message is Setting a Determined Course. In Hebrews chapter 12, we'll read just two verses. Chapter 12, verse number 1. And two, setting a determined course. I look to the new year coming, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what could we do in this next year to make it better? That's kind of the focus of this. Verse number one, it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray today on our determined course. Heavenly Father, come before you this morning. And for each one of us, no matter if we are close to God and we know God intimately, or if we feel we're a little distant toward God, Lord, I know that you would want us to set a course toward you in this next year. As we close out this year and we start to enter into 2022, how will it go? What will the events that happen at the beginning of the year, how will it affect the latter end of the year? Lord, please bless us and help us to understand that it's important for us to daily determine to serve you and to surrender our heart to you. And Lord, it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I remember 2 years ago, we would have never guessed the course of our world as we see it right now. 2 years ago, we had just briefly mentioned this thing called COVID-19. It was not a normal thing. Now, if I type in COVID, my Google search will immediately pull up recommendations. I mean, it knows the phrase rather well. 2 years ago, that was a strange thing. I might have been in some far reaches been talked about, but we would have never guessed that 2 years ago, we would have had to wear masks into Costco. Amen? Isn't that annoying? Right, going to Costco, and there's that guard there that with the clicker, and you put your mask on, and they're starting to do that again now with the new variant that's out there and stuff. 2 years ago, we could have never known all the events that would take place. A year ago, in January, we would have never known some of the events that would take place this last year, all the ups and downs of life and so on. At the beginning of every year, it's always wise to begin the year with a thought of you know, how are we going to continue on this next, what can I do differently? We may call those New Year's resolutions. It may be just I avoid that phrase, by the way. I don't like New Year's resolutions. But I do believe that there's a time when you should take stock, look at your life and say, how am I doing, right? In getting prepared for this, I looked up several articles. This particular article was in ResearchGate net publication, but it's a research institute, and they were studying the importance of resolutions and the fact that it's maybe New Year's resolutions or to review your life. It says the beginning of the year is widely documented as a time when millions of people commit themselves to an atypical vigor to achieve their goals, such as losing weight, eating more healthy, quitting smoking, obtaining a better education, or this one, saving money. That's the general big ones, right? And so it's a normal thing is what it's saying. This is what we typically do. And I believe that there should be a review of life, an examination. In fact, I encourage everyone at the first Sunday of every month to, when we take our Lord's table, to examine ourselves. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup of the Lord. And so there should be a time of circumspect review. How many of you own a business? Any business owners? Any here? Okay, you own a business. Employees? How many employees? Just yourself. All right, I knew that. Whether you're a business owner or or you're an employee, there's always a time where you have to take a stock of things. If you own a business, I had a business in Mariposa, Steve's Handyman. I was a handyman over there, had the business. It was over there for many years. And every year I would have to look at my outgo and my income and see if I did okay, right? We reconcile things. We review. If you don't own a business, you do the same thing. Your employer will oftentimes call you into the office and have an annual review. I mean, you have one of those. Aren't those fun, right? They evaluate how you're doing, and they judge and say, can we do better in the next year? Now, I don't believe God has this annual review necessarily of judgment, but I believe it's good for all people here to maybe take a stock of how we're walking with the Lord, what we're doing, and how this next year can be better if we just do some determined things. If we don't plan to succeed, we'll never gain anything. If we don't plan to do things in the right way, then and just go by by our instincts, we'll never know how well we're really doing. And so this message this morning is really to plan your year for Jesus Christ, to close this year out, and to enter next year with a determined step. And we look at it as a race. In the passage that we just read, it says that we are to run this race, to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easy beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And each one of you this morning, you're in your race. Now, you're not racing against me. Somebody say amen. This year I have hopes maybe for a knee surgery, maybe a knee replacement. We're talking to doctors now. So probably right now, if we were to do a race, you're going to win. I know Richard would. He's like, yeah, well, I got this. Odds are we're not going to, you know, we could race one toward another and you might do better, but that's not the race we're talking about. We're talking about a race within yourself. A race, a long-distance journey in life, and God wants us to run the race and to be victorious and to have, at the end of the day, you cross the finish line, to God be the glory and to praise of Him. Amen. That's what God wants. But we are in a race. Every man, woman, and child born into this world is in a race. A race to run this life as well as can be expected. Now, again, this new year is approaching. The old year is ending. And sometimes we need to take a look at this last year and say, how did I do? Is there some things that I can do better this next year? And I got three thoughts and a few subpoints on how we could run our race better in this next year. We're going to look a couple of weeks at running this race and entering this new year with the determination to do better and to be victorious over the trials, the struggles, and even the victories of life that we will encounter in this next year. And by the way, just as a subpoint, you know, life isn't all about trials, is it? Sometimes those overshadow things. But I promise you, in 2022, you're going to have some victories. You're going to have some joys. You're going to have some good days where we need to look at them and praise God for them. That's also in our race. And we need to remember all of those things. So let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning as we look at this race that God says that we're going to be engaged in, that we're running in. Number one, I want you to see we need to get in the race. We need to enter the race. Now, I just said that every man, woman, child born into this world is in a race. But there are people that are in the race, and then there are people that are really in the race, right? They're running it with determination. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is get in the race in your mind. Realize that your life is the race, and you got to run it well and do as best job as you can. It is clear that in order to run the race, we should need to do several things. Number one, we need to come to the starting block. You ever see a race, maybe the Olympics? I'm not a Summer Olympics. I'm more of a Winter Olympics guy. I like the snow sports. I like the skating, things like that. But occasionally, and we just had Olympics recently, but occasionally I'll watch the Summer Olympics, and I'll watch the dashes, whether it be the different ones. And you always see the racers, they come in, and they have what's called a starting block. Any runners in here know what I'm talking about? All right, it's the block. They put their feet on, and they rest their feet on it before they get the on mark, they get set, and they go. And it's basically just a push-off point. It's just to get your feet into it and ready to start. And as they draw closer to the beginning of the race, they call all the runners to the starting block. And they prepare themselves for the race. And you'll see any number of people. They maybe before the starting block, they were loosening up. They were shaking their arms. They were stretching their legs out. But when they're called to the starting block, there's none of that. They're called to the line, and their feet are placed firmly in the block. And they're preparing to run the race. Their muscles are in tense mode. They're not idle anymore. Their eyes are focused and fixed, and they're determined to win the race that's before them. They came to the starting block. Each one of us this morning needs to realize that we need to, in our life, come to the starting block of living life. Stop living life in a lackadaisical way. Stop living life and saying, well, I'll get to serving the Lord later on, but instead determine today's the day that I will serve the Lord. Come to the starting block. The passage tells us, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We need to get prepared to run the race. Stop wasting life away and come to the starting block. Well, what is that starting block? What is it to an individual? Number one, it's salvation. And each person here this morning, no matter who you are, man, woman, or child, you need to have a time where you've come to the starting block of salvation and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior of your life. If you've not, you're really not in the race. Oh, you're living life. You're hanging out with the crowd. You've got legs on, but you're not in the game. You're not in the race of life, really. You're not living a life of determinism. You're going to live your life and die at the end of your life, and you'll be in a place of hell and destruction. And God says, look, you got to get in the starting block of salvation. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and then He'll direct thy path. Why don't you today say, I'm going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust Him and Him alone. I'm going to make Him my Lord and Savior. Trust Jesus Christ. The starting block. Salvation is the beginning of running your true race. You can be dabbling with the race in religion, right? But that's not really running the race. You could be dabbling in trying to be a better person. You could put on your New Year's resolution. Anybody, by the way, anybody getting some resolutions? Anybody have some already? Nobody? Just me, huh? That's sad. You're making me feel bad. I've already determined that, you know, I gained about 4 pounds. 4 whole pounds. This last year, I lost about 50 pounds, and I gained 4 of it back. I am not going to live that way any longer. Amen? So I'm going to drop the 4 pounds. I'm going to actually get down to my goal weight. Some say I should be. Doctors are crazy, aren't they? Somebody say amen to that. At least say amen there, right? They say, but with your body weight, you should be 175 pounds. I haven't been 175 pounds in a very long time, amen? My goal is 200. 200 pounds, 199. I'd like to see the ones again, amen? Wouldn't that be nice? Somebody say amen. So I've set some goals. I've got already, they're not necessarily New Year's resolution because I started today. I'll be honest, I'm going to confess right now, we had a pumpkin pie on the counter last night, or yesterday. I ate 3 slices for breakfast. I didn't tell my wife. I just ate them. I didn't even leave the kitchen. In fact, I didn't leave the pumpkin pie. I just served 1 slice up. Didn't waste a plate. I just ate it right out of the hand like a wood chipper. Amen? Just came all the way in. I said, that was so good. I'm going for another one. I ate 3 slices yesterday. I'm not ashamed either. I enjoyed it. We had for Christmas dinner, we had prime rib. Cooked it in the oven. It was so good. Crispy on the outside, light and pink on the inside. It was just good. You know, we can't live that way all the time, right? I got some goals. I got some focus in my life. I got some, I'm going to read some books. I'm already reading like 3 different books that I've got to finish, and I'm going to finish off my books. And I just know that if I don't focus my life is going to be gone. And if I don't get in the starting block, I'm not going to be able to accomplish the things that God wants me to accomplish. And this morning, salvation is the most important thing you could accomplish this next year. Now, if you have salvation, let's go to the next one, number 2. Have a mental readiness to serve the Lord. Oh, we don't know what's going to happen this next year. I've given up trying to guess what's going to happen. I know that COVID-19 seems to always pop up and change our life schedules, and all of a sudden we have to wear masks. I went down to Lancaster several months ago. Now, I'm sure it hasn't changed, and that's L.A. County, and I was shocked. I was kicked out of 3 stores for no mask. I didn't carry a mask. We're in Fresno. They don't care up there. You know, no big deal. But down there, my life was upset. I had to go find and buy a mask for $1.99. That's horrible. Amen? Life throws curves. Life throws changes. You know, there's going to be illnesses maybe this next year. There's going to be tragedies next year. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be victories. And we have to have the mental readiness to run the race. Have you ever watched a racer preparing to run? They're not idle. They're focused. They're determined. They're in the starting block and their eyes are not glazed over. They're determined. They see in their mind themselves running across that finish line and finishing the race number one. I doubt any of them is picturing number 3. They're going to run their race. There's a mental readiness to it. We need to get in the starting block of salvation, but we also need to get in the starting block of running the race determined. Getting in the race, determining, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to be what I can be. So get in the starting block. Get ready to run the race. Say, it's all right to do New Year's resolutions. It's all right to say, hey, I can get rid of some things. I can do some things. We're going to get into that in a second. But we need to have a mental readiness to run the race that Jesus Christ is going to have us run. So get in the starting block. But also, when we get in the race, we need to take advantage of the peak performance. Now, I did some research on this also. In a study on this, a review carried out in New Zealand was published back in 2015. It gave the example of the estimated average age of an elite athlete's peak. And gives these numbers. Let me give you some of the numbers. For sprinters, jumpers, and throwers, men and women hit their peak around 25 years of age. Anybody in that game still? All right, good job. You're in peak performance, ready to go. All right. For long-distance endurance, there's a little more hope for some of us. Marathoners and such, 29 to 30 years old. That's your peak. You're at your best right then. Now, we know there's going to be examples of others like yourselves that are well past that, but you're still in your prime and peak. I got you, amen? But this is just on general. In terms of strength, it is generally accepted that muscle mass naturally declines at the age of, anybody want to guess? Not 30, 40 years old. It's all going downhill from there. By the way, that's a little over middle age right there. You say 50s middle age. Last time I checked, unless you live to be 100, 50 is not middle age. About 40. The truth of the matter is, if you just generalize it, the peak athlete is around 25 years of age. Okay? But that's not how God deals with humans. When we consider running our race, because we're not in a physical competition, we're talking a spiritual long race, the peak time of our running the race is while we breathe, while we live on this earth. That's your peak. So, but Pastor, my knee's blown out, my back doesn't work. It doesn't matter. That's still your peak. This is your opportunity to run the race. You don't have another opportunity but this one to run the race that's set before you. May I give you some thoughts on this? The thought is that in heaven, you will never have an opportunity to sacrifice for God. There'll be no sacrifice for God in heaven. There's no famine. There's no sin. There's no problems. The tears are wiped away. Where's the sacrifice in heaven? You say, oh, if I just get to heaven, then everything will be perfect. And yes, it will be, but your opportunity to run the race is over. You're out of your peak. You'll never have a sacrifice. You'll never have a time where you say, Lord, I'm going to give up my flesh for that, for you. And sacrifice in that way. Why? Because our sin nature will be gone. There'll never be a time where you'll say, Lord, I got $100, and Lord, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give you $10, and I'm going to sacrifice and trust you that you're going to take care of me. You'll never do that in heaven because God will provide for all your needs. This is the peak. If you're looking for the opportunity in a spiritual realm for service for God, it's today. Today's the day when you go out and serve the Lord. You get up out of the chair this morning and you go out into the world. That's your peak time to serve God. And you can make a lot of excuses. You can say, oh, I pulled a hammy. But that's not going to give you a reason to not serve God. There's no reason. As long as you draw air into your lungs and as long as God has given you strength of arms, you can serve the Lord. And I love the fact that we have some seasoned saints, some senior lovely saints that are still serving God and still faithful and still in the game when they're well into their quote unquote retirement years. You see, heaven will not be a place where we have to sacrifice for God. Heaven will not be a place where we have to show dedication to God. We'll be with Him. We'll be ever with the Lord. How in heaven will we show that we love Him? Because everything is perfect. It's now, folks. Sacrifice and dedication and to dedication to live righteously. Let me say this. You never have a problem with sin in heaven. How can you show the dedication to get rid of sin? It's now. Lord, I love you so much that I won't do that right over there that feeds my flesh. I won't partake in that. Many people in this life, they live a life where they don't think of the opportunities to serve God. For a person getting in the race, our peak is while we're on this earthly plane, when we serve the Lord, when we wait on God, when we call to Him in our time of need. Heaven will not have a time of sacrifice. Heaven will not have a time where we can show our dedication by living righteously, for we will have no sin in heaven. Heaven will not be a place where we can lean on God when our time of sorrow comes. We know in heaven, as I've many times through funerals and such, have given words of comfort, words of gentleness to those, and promises of a time where God shall wipe away the tears from our eyes. Just kind of wipe it away. It's all gone. No sorrow, no heartache, no parting. All of these things will be gone. Folks, today when we meet with the Lord in sorrow, and we cling to Him when we have no others, when we run to God and throw our arms around Him and say, Lord, I need You. This is the day to lean on God. Our sorrows bring us closer to Him, or can, if we'll lead, run our race. See, what's the peak performance for an athlete is not the same for a spiritual man. The peak performance of a man is while they draw air into their lungs. And may we all run our race and be faithful. May we get into the block and stay in that starting block. May we have our salvation. And folks, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today, get it. But we also need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. This peak performance moment where we can serve the Lord now, where we can serve the Lord faithfully. We don't have to be faithful in heaven because we'll be in heaven. Even faith is gone. Why is faith gone? Because Jesus is there. He's right there. Now's the time for faith. But number two, so we see get in the race. And I hope this next year you'll get in the race for serving the Lord. But the Bible also teaches us to train for the race. We've got to train for it. Now, if you were in sports in high school or in your early days, or maybe you're now in training now, maybe you're an Olympian and we don't know it, that's great. Good job. Keep it up. Amen? We know that when you run a race, there's training. Can you imagine tomorrow? I say, you know, I think I'm going to next year run a marathon, 26 miles. I think I'll do it tomorrow. How do you think I'm going to do? Probably won't get past a mile, amen, to be honest. I haven't run a mile in a while. I remember my son-in-law Nathan. He was going into the back into the military. He was a Marine, and he got out of the Marines, and he wanted to go back into the military, and decided to go with Special Forces, and so he entered the Army as a Green Beret. And now, as the Army, the Green Beret, they have a high threshold for activity. And so Nathan was, prior to going in, was starting his running. So I went out there on the track. In Mariposa, we have a track just similar to this one. And I think it was 4 laps a mile or something like that. And he wanted to run 6 miles and clock it. And we wanted to see how many miles he could run. He was very serious about that. And so I was clocking it. And he was lagging toward that last mile. He was really lagging on that last mile. I was trying to encourage him. So I said, I'll run with him. That last mile. I mean, I've been watching him for all these laps. Last mile, I'm going to run with him. And I did, but I just nearly died doing it. There's got to be some training involved. Got to be some dedication involved. Very proud of Nathan, by the way. He should be finishing his courses in Green Berets. He should have his beret very shortly, and that's very exciting. A lot of hard work involved in that. But there was a lot of training involved. A marathoner doesn't just decide one day to run a marathon and then do it. They train and they do the quarter marathons, the half marathons, and they work their way up, and they go out in the cold, dark mornings and they run and they run and they run. I prefer driving myself. It's so much easier. Amen. But we need to train. What does the passage tells us? It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, when we run our race, we need to get in the block. We need to start the race, but we need to start preparing for the race as well. And the Lord is clear that when we run our race, we must prepare as well. Well, how do we prepare for it? It says, let us lay aside every weight. You know, when we truly run the race of life, we got to get rid of the things that are dragging us down, the things that are holding us back, the things that are keeping us from doing what God wants. These aren't necessarily sins. We'll look at that in a second. But these are just weights that they hold on to us, and we don't give them over to the Lord. By the way, none of these things I'm going to list are bad necessarily, but if you hold on to them too tightly, they're dragging you down from running the race. And what are these things? Well, how about your work? I can't tell you as a pastor how many times I've heard people say, Pastor, I'd come to church, but I can't. I've got to work. Now, look, I understand if you have to work. But there's a difference between pulling overtime because you get to and pulling overtime because they make you. Amen? And many people don't understand, look, there's got to be a time where you reserve for God, and you can't focus your whole life on work. There's not one man that's ever going to be grateful that they worked their whole life when they get to their deathbed. But there's going to be many that are going to wish they would have served God at that latter days. Wish they wouldn't have given their life to the job or the corporation. A dear friend of mine, Frank Jacobson, he's a cameraman from Hollywood. I'm going to name drop right here. He was the lead camera producer for Magnum PI. That's somebody, amen? Some of you are like, who? But you know who I'm talking about if you're older. Magnum PI. Oh, that was a great show back in the 80s and 70s, back in that time there. And he's a great guy, Christian, loves the Lord. He pulled me aside about a year and a half ago. He says, I wish I would have served the Lord like I'm doing now when I was back then. I wish I would have, what he's basically saying, I wish I would have entered the race. I wish I would have trained a little better. Look, the fact is we need to lay aside some training, some weights that are holding us. We need to train and realize that there's some things dragging you down. Maybe it's work, maybe it's hobbies, maybe it's things. None of those are bad. Yes, you should have them. You need a good hobby. You need a good job. Amen. But those aren't the priorities. Those are the things that get us to where we want to go in life. Even our own social friends and such, they can't be where they drag us down. They must edify us and bring us closer to God. For it's clear that we need to lay aside these weights, the job, the hobbies, the events, the activities, the entertainment that we like to draw into our life, the movies and all the things that this world has to offer. And we know this world has plenty of things to distract, doesn't it? Lay them aside. Oh, I didn't say you have to get rid of them, but they cannot be the predominant thing. It must be about God. Train for your race. But then it also says, lay aside the sin. By the way, it doesn't say sins, it says one sin. Even one sin is going to weigh you down. Man had his pastor over, and the pastor came over and as he was in the house, he says, "Can I get a drink of water?" The pastor asked, and he says, "Sure." And he opened up the fridge, and in the fridge there was all sorts of alcohol and all sorts of things in there. That pastor says, "Oh, I didn't know that you drank." He says, "Oh, I don't drink. No, I've given that up." Pastor says, "Well, I don't understand. Why would you have all this stuff here if you've given up?" "Oh, that's just in case I change my mind." Made provisions just in case, right? When we're running a race, there's certain things we just don't make provisions for. We don't hold on to certain things. They drag us down, and they're detrimental to our conduct, detrimental to our health, detrimental to how we engage and run our race. And so we simply must purge those out of our life, and those are the sins that we have in our life. Now, I'm not talking the sins of the accidental word, although I don't condone it, but when you hit your hammer on your thumb and you make those sounds like from Home Alone where, you know, they make the riff and raff and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking that sin, even though you should avoid that. You shouldn't do that. But I'm talking these habitual sins, these things that you purposely make provisions for. You put in your life and you say, this is going to help me, and it's actually just weighing you down. Sins of immorality, sins of pride, sins of gossip, sins of the flesh, sins of things that maybe are even subtle, that are only in our thought processes. And only you and God know about them. There's never going to be a time where I go over to your house and look in your fridge unless you tell me to. But what does God see? What do you know about that God knows about? And these are things. Look, lay aside those things. There should be no provision. You don't keep a closet for sin for just in case. Amen? Every person addicted knows that you don't hold on to your addiction just in case. What do you do with it? You get it out of your house. You purge it out, you dump it down, you flush it away, you throw it away. You don't keep it close by because our flesh is weak. Amen. See, in our race, just as in the race of a great sprinter, they wouldn't put things in their life that are going to harm them and let it live right next to them. You got to purge it out. So train for the race. And may I say, there's a lot of things we could get rid of, but there's a lot of things we can add in our training. Amen? Yes, we should get rid of the weights. We should get rid of the sins. But why don't we add a little bit of Bible? This next year is a lot of opportunities to serve the Lord, a lot of opportunities to read your Bible. This next year, why don't we get into church a little bit more? You say, "Well, Pastor, the Bible, church, it's so old-fashioned. Everybody, all my friends say, you know, the church is done." Look, let me say this. The church is the bride of Christ. Until Jesus Christ comes back, we are the bride to Jesus Christ. And last time I checked, if we're the bride, we're pretty precious. Amen? Kind of important to show up, kind of important to be there, kind of important to make it a priority. I'd be concerned about a bride that didn't really focus on the groom and fawn over the groom and long for the groom. Now, I've been married for a good long time now. I got married in 1988. You do the math. I've given up. It's 32, 33 years, something like that. We're moving ahead. We keep moving forward, right? And I'm not a newlywed anymore. But I'm going to say this, I still long for my bride. And see, we as a church, we should have more Bible. We should have more church into our life. We should want to be around God's people a little bit more. Train for the race. And then number three, we saw first to get in the race. Number two, train for the race. Number three, could I give you the last one? Determined to finish well. Again, put in your mind, if you would, a picture of a race, a runner, at the starting block. And their eyes are focused down the field. Maybe it's a 50-yard dash, maybe it's a 100-yard dash, maybe it's even the marathon, although they typically don't start on a starting block with a marathon. But their eyes are focused and they're fixed and they're determined because they don't want to drop off to the wayside. years ago, there was a lady that was running a marathon, and she finished the marathon in record time. Amazing time. Then they, through video cameras and some other things, they found that this lady actually dropped out of the race, took a taxi cab, and then re-entered it about the appropriate time and finished the race. I got to give her A for creativity, but that's not necessarily how you run the marathon. Somebody has missed the point there. She didn't finish well. She wasn't awarded the prize because she didn't do well. The story of the rabbit and the hare would be another illustration of that. The rabbit, which by the hare and the turtle, that's the one I'm looking for. The rabbit's much faster, much more ability to run, but as it started out in the race, it got bored of the race and laid down and took a nap. And the turtle, who was not very fast but was determined, ended up winning the race because it didn't take the time for the nap that the rabbit did. It was determined. We're not in a sprint, folks. I will say, as the years draw closer, let me say this. We're in the year 2022. Could I just point out that every year is a year closer to Jesus Christ? He's going to come either way. We're going to either meet him through the natural course of man, which is death, or he's going to come meet us and call his children home. Every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus. Every tongue, whether you're saved or not saved. So, Pastor, I don't even believe in God. That's all right. You will when you stand before him. Doesn't matter. And every year, every day, every moment, every breath is one breath closer to that day. You know, when I was 20 years ago, I was the youngest deacon in the church. I was youngest in everything. I was probably the youngest person married in many of the places that we got married right out of high school. I was the youngest at everything. You know, I'm not the youngest anymore. The other day I was playing frisbee, whatever the name we call that, frisbee in the middle or whatever it is. And I was playing and I won. I won. Amen. Against all the young people. Richard, how you doing? I won. Just pointing it out. I don't know if you were there. I think you were missing that day. But Jacob was there. No. But the difference between them and me is they were able to walk the next day. And I wasn't. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? I'm not the youngest anymore. I can pretend, but it's all a lie. And most of you understand that. Some of you are younger and you're running your race and you're like, yeah, this is going to be like this forever. No, 40 years old, your muscle starts dropping off. It's hopeless, right? How are we going to finish our race? It's finite. We have only a little time. And I'm going to sound very old right now, but I'm 52. And it seems like it's just gone like by that. And I already know, 52, I only got like 25, 30 years, 40 years on the long shot. You know, it's going to go quicker. We're going to have to run a race. We're going to have to determine to finish well. And by the way, it's not how you start the race. You can stumble, you can fall, you can fumble a little bit. But do you cross the finish line well? Or are you dropping out and hopping in a taxi cab? How do we finish well? We stay in it. Good days and bad. We stay in the race of life. We just determined that I'm going to make God the lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'm going to surrender my life to him. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be like Demas, who left Paul the Apostle, having loved this present world. He dropped out of the race. Each one of us this morning, may we determine to finish well. May we look for the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Will that be the words that God speaks to you? Will he say, "Well done"? I want to finish well. Now, I'll never be sinless, and neither will you. Amen. But could we strive to finish well today? You know, the race is going to be go on whether we enter it or not. At the end of the day, our life will be spent. We will have run our race. But some wouldn't even know they're in it. Have you ever raced on the freeway? No, I'm not suggesting you get on the freeway. Careful, be careful, boo, right? You ever on the freeway and you're racing the cars that don't even know they're in the race, right? I'm passing them. Look at me, I'm passing them. Yeah, they don't have a clue. They're just driving along Sunday drive, right? But you're winning. Why? Because you're in the race and they're not. Amen? You ever think that that's how some people are? They're in the race. They don't have a clue. And you're in it to win it. You're in it to run it. Let me encourage you this next year. We're coming into 2022. Don't be afraid. Whether you like the term New Year's resolution or whatever, don't be afraid to look at your life and determine, I'm going to do better. There's going to be trials this next year. I promise you there will be. There's going to be. There's going to be victories too. Look forward to them. But in all of them, let's run the race as God would have us to. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning in this time of the closing of the new year. I think of Sean on Wednesday. He gave a message and he talked about how we close out this old year and we start to begin to usher in this new year at the time of the celebration of Christ's birth. And I think it's very appropriate that we look to this day, the day after Christmas, the day month after Thanksgiving, the day when we could look at all that you've done for us, the sacrifice, the blessings that you've brought to this earth, the peace on earth, good will toward men that you presented on that day of your birth, the resurrection that we honor you with on Easter. And may that motivate us, all these things, all these blessings, may that motivate us to serve you better, to run our race. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid in this room, myself included, we've got some weights that we need to shed off. We got some sins maybe even to purge away. We have some things that maybe mental problems that have caused us not to enter the race. We're not focused. We're not determined. We're not ready to do what, God, you've called us to do. We're not even looking at finishing. We're just living every day, wasting our days away. Lord, may in this room every person be focused and determined to run their race well. Lord, please bless this invitation. May each person here this morning determine to get things right. Lord, if there's any that doesn't know you as their Savior, any person that they're here, they're religious, they wouldn't be if they weren't here, but they, in their heart of hearts, they know that if they were to die and to meet you, they would be quaking in their boots. They would have no reason, no solid biblical reason why they should be entered into heaven. They would be concerned that their sins, which are many, would cast them into destruction. Lord, I pray for them right now that they would take the time this morning to trust you as their Savior. Realize that it is not by works that we are saved, not by good deeds, not by good tasks, not by being in church or even singing a little louder, but by trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone for eternal life. Lord, bless this invitation, Lord, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.